Srila Prabhupada ki Sri Bhakti Vaibhava ki Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki Giriraj Maharaj ki Jaya Nitai Goprema. What did we discuss last night?
The formation of the Virat Purush.
Yep.
Which is the
Paramatma. Nice. Any other points?
It's not the soul alone after entering the Virat Purush that the Virat Purush becomes awakened, but it's only after the Paramatma, Kshirdakshana Vishnu enters that then he comes.
Any other points?
One can realize his first soul within oneself. Then the meaning is that he is within one's body. Super soul, but he is apart from it, transcendental to it. And super soul has no affection for the body. There's no purposes.
Oh. Any other points?
The whole point of human life is to know this and be detached.
To know it.
How temporary this whole thing is, and be detached. So that in jnana leads to vairagya.
That's good. It's an important theme, this session.
The Lord comes only when things are in order. Like when all the elements were there, the setting meetings are all in thing. They all were there, then he comes. Which means the situation has to be right before he comes. Similarly, in the womb also, all the situations are there. When it's ready, then the Lord comes in. So comes in. The combination of Sankhya Yoga is devotional service.
Good. Any other points?
I have one doubt. When the sperms are discharged in the womb of the mother, so many sperms go there, but only one or two. So what happens to the other sperms? They have no body, no soul, I mean?
No, they die, that's all.
They die. So each sperm has got a soul, that means. So the soul can, how can the soul die? This is what I mean.
No,
the sperm can die.
Yeah, the body dies. The soul does not die. Have you read Bhagavad Gita?
So how the, where does the soul go then?
Goes to another body.
To another body. So you have to wait to become another.
No, it means the sperms, like millions of sperms, are
introduced into the womb of the mother,
and then one will meet the egg.
Yeah.
Then the others, that is their form of life. It is like a birth that you take. And it only lasts for, you know, maybe a few days.
Oh, right.
And then you go on to the next body. So it's one of the types of 8,400,000 species of life.
So the other sperms are lost, but the soul goes somewhere else.
Yeah. They die like that. They only last for a few days. And then when they die, then the soul moves on to another body. It's a type of body.
Right.
It's a species of a life, you could say, or a birth in the material world.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
In the description of the 24 elements, modes of material nature are not mentioned. So, what is your understanding? We understand that in Pradhan, they are there in the unmanifest state.
It mentioned that when the Lord entered into the egg, as Gavadaksha Vishnu, then it said that he brought the seven great elements and he brought the modes of nature with him at that point in time. So they're counted as separate from the 24 elements of material nature, but they're inclusive in the pradhan, they're inclusive within the mahatattva. They're a part of that, but they're separate from the 24 elements. The 24 elements are under their control, because when the Lord glances, then the glance first contacts false ego, and then false ego in contact with the mode then creates the allows the other elements to become manifest like that. So they're integral to the creation, but they're like separate to those other 24 elements, but they're a part of the mahatattva, they're part of the pradhan, they're part of the material energy.
My understanding is that the goodness, passion and ignorance is coming from three qualities of false ego. It is basically the false ego in the mode of goodness that we call as the material mode of goodness, false ego in the ignorance and false ego in the passion.
The way I understand it is the gunas are there are three qualities which are there. I don't remember having heard it explained that there are three manifestations of false ego.
Who's that?
There are. The three types. How they interact.
It's endo predominantly with extreme power of three kinds.
Where is it?
Yeah,
this
table.
Oh, there it is. Okay. No, but it's in the Bhagavatam. That's what I'm looking for. Where is it in the Bhagavatam? Oh. Is it in the Bhagavatam?
Three point 23 and 24, the material ego springs up from the master part, which evolved from the Lord Soul's energy. And the material ego is
which verse endowed. Which verse was that?
23 and 24.
Of which chapter?
26.
23, 24. 23, 24, yep, okay. Material ego is endowed predominantly with the active power of three kinds, goodness, passion, and ignorance. It is from these three types of material ego that the mind, the sense of it. Yeah, but I still don't think that means that the modes of nature are something separate. It just means a false ego in contact with that particular mode. But my understanding is they're three separate modes. That's not my understanding that they are three manifestations of false ego. False ego is an element. It's one of the 24 elements. When the Lord glances, when his glance mixes with false ego, which then mixes with the mode of goodness, with the mode, to me, in my mind, it's three separate things. The gunas. Because there's many other places where the gunas are described, but they're not consistently described as being three manifestations of false ego. It's not mentioned like that. So that's not my understanding. My understanding is that they're something separate. Like that. It's not that there's 24 material elements. One of the material elements is false ego. And false ego has three features. My understanding is the gunas are separate. Right? And when they mix with false ego, then you get all these manifestations take place.
But then in a complete analysis of the matter, in the 24 elements, we don't mention these three modes anymore.
Yeah, that's true. But they're a separate thing. Very separate thing. To me, it's not such a confusing point. Like that. You could be correct, but I've never heard it described like that. Yeah, no, it's good. It's a good point. It's a good point. You could be correct, but I haven't heard it described as such. Banu Swami, I think, would be good to ask, because he's very knowledgeable on these things. Like that. So.
Mode of passion and ignorance maybe they can be, but not mode of goodness.
No, false ego is can be tinged by all three.
It can interact with those three. They interact with those three?
Yeah, it does interact with those three. That's a good question, but you know, I've answered the way that I understand it, and I could be incorrect. You'd have to ask like Banaswamy or someone to get clarification. Any other points? Right. So we see in that chapter, the previous chapter, there was a description in the beginning of the chapter of the importance of cultivating
knowledge.
Transcendental knowledge. Now one must cultivate knowledge, because by knowledge one becomes detached from this material world. That is the importance of cultivating transcendental knowledge. It is necessary for spiritual life. It makes one fixed in one's spiritual life. It makes one detached from this material world. So it is necessary to cultivate transcendental knowledge. Then Devahuti asks Kapila Dev to please describe about the energies of the Lord, both the spiritual and the material energies of the Lord. So then he begins to describe the nature of the entrapment, or the nature of the bondage of the living entities. The living entities are bound in the material world by the material elements. So he gives a very elaborate description in chapter 26 of the nature of the material elements which bind the living entity within the material world. So we see there was an elaborate description of how the different elements begin to manifest by the from the glance of the Lord, and then how the Lord enters into that into the universe, right, as Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. And by entering as Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, then the Virat Purush manifests, and from the Virat Purush the different devas manifest, and the different facets of the creation manifest, the different senses and so forth. So it's a very elaborate description from Mahavishnu all the way through to Garbhadakshaya Vishnu to the Virat Purush of how the universe, how the creation expands. We've gone into that in great detail previously, so we didn't go into it intricately this time around because we've done it previously, but I think we covered it to some degree, and you will need to study it quite thoroughly, because you will be examined on it. The exam will be at the end of chapter 28, which is not far away, probably sometime in the beginning of July. So please prepare yourselves for that. It means the open book exams will be due around that time as well. Like that. Okay, so we're going to do some group work tonight. So I'll give you a number, a transcendental number. Please remember this transcendental number. I know that some of you won't, because it's a long time to remember it, maybe at least 2 minutes or so. But I'll give it to you anyway, with the hope that some of you will remember it, and then if some of you remember it, you may get the tables correct. So please remember your number. You want to be? Well, you have to be, because you're part of the class. Mm-hmm. Do you want to be? Huh?
No,
you can just hang out with me. And Giri Raj, like that again. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3. So that's table 1, that's table 2, that's table 3, that's table 4, that's table 5. Please find your appropriate table. If you forgot your number, please come and ask me.
Would you remember?
Huh?
Would you remember?
As long as you all know how to move. Please find your respective table.
I'm saying.
I just need everyone to concentrate for a moment. So, group one, I want you to concentrate on paragraph one of text seven. Okay? And then group number two, I want you to concentrate on paragraph two and three of text seven. Group number three, I want you to concentrate on paragraph one of text number eight. Group number four, concentrate on paragraph two of text number eight. And group number five, concentrate on paragraph three to four of text number eight. So what I want you to do is we'll have a presentation. You can spend 20 minutes with your group and you can read the particular paragraph which I gave you, or paragraphs which I gave you, and you can do an analysis of the advantages of cultivating these particular qualities. What are the advantages of cultivating these particular qualities? And then one of you can choose one member of the group, and you can do a presentation to the rest of the group and present what is your findings or your
observations.
Your observations, yeah. Your conclusions about the advantages of following this particular. Is it clear? Okay, please enjoy yourself. Sorry, Krishna.
Can you repeat the question?
Advantages of cultivating the qualities in your particular paragraph. Okay, so first of all, we'll have group number one, followed by group number two, followed by group number three, followed by group number four, followed by group number five. So, group number one, please choose one of your members to please make the presentation. Group number one, please give your full attention and respect to group number one.
The first and foremost principle is the devotee sees everything in relation to Krishna. Number two, although there are 8.4 million species of life, the devotee sees only the inner soul inhabiting the body. Number three, the vision of a devotee or a sage is that each and every soul is part and parcel of the Supreme Soul. And hence he does not see the outer covering or difference. Bhagavad Gita also confirms this aphorism. विद्या विनय संपन्ने ब्राह्मणे गभिहस्तिनी सुनीचेवा सुपाकेशा पंडिता संदर्शन. Therefore, a devotee has no enmity towards any living being.
Just rest it on the top, it'll all work. On the actual top?
Yeah.
That's good.
At the same time, you should not mix with everyone. That is prohibited. Devotee is concerned in executing his devotional service. As a result, association of the devotee is most important.
He does not mix with everyone. What does it mean by he does not mix with everyone?
Because if you mix with everyone, you can lose your objective. And even if
he
you are
has association.
You can give your association to others. However, you should not try to take their association in that way.
Mm-hmm.
That is the most important.
So which quality we are, you know, just glorifying here
for? The association.
Association.
Is the most important.
We don't get involved in Gramya Katha.
That's right.
Krishna Katha only.
No mundane talks. That's what Prabhupada's instruction. And the more sincere and serious we are, the more we are following our objective.
Prabhupada, person to person, if you don't mind, that a devotee always sees in other person only the soul or the super soul. You have been in Krishna consciousness for more than a decade. Are you able to see that?
Most of the time.
Most of the time. Very bold. Mm-hmm.
Like a patient, whether he's poor or rich, doesn't matter. You have to give your full investigation, take a full history and then diagnosis, and tell them as much as possible. And then they are very happy also, the way you deal with them. That's why some of the doctors may not be lying, because some doctor will ask, what's wrong with you? So the patient says, well, I don't know what's wrong with me. That's why I'm coming to you. You have to tell me what is wrong with you. So the doctor should not ask what is wrong with you. He has to ask, how can I help you? Would you like to tell me your problems? And if I can, you have any help. Anything else?
Okay. Thank you very much. Okay, group number 13.
This is the Saranama Sutta Brahmacharya. So in the section Prabhupada mentioned that it's not only refraining from sex important, the higher goal is important. And why we do this, why it's necessary. So in that context, Prabhupada mentions that one may enter into a family life, then develop Krishna consciousness of serving attitude. And also, I was in Chapati in Mahaprabhu, Brahmacharya Ashram, very nicely made, so that one can be situated well and focus on the right things. And also, in the Nectar of Instruction, one cannot control the senses, has to be engaged. So that way, automatically, it gets controlled. So the next point made is that one should not speak needlessly. Is again in the Nectar of Instruction mentioned, the croaking the frog. Only you might problem by doing so. So in that regard it's mentioned, watch over vegam or sakrodha vegam. One has to control the urge to speak is important.
On the other side, Krishna says that there is no one in the past, present or future will be more dear to me than one who preaches my glories. That means we need to speak. We need to speak right things to do. It's important, so one has to speak. And the Krishna consciousness matter there. So the next one is act in one's eternal occupation. So everybody has got certain skills there. One has to act, use them. Use the natural propensity. The other side is mentioned, Dharma Sunishita Bhumsa Vishwakrima Kataswaya Navapadiyat Karyatantim Shramayayukyam. So if we, our activities does not lead to attachment to Krishna, it will be useless only. So the devotion service is so potent that right from the beginning you start accruing the results to us. So the next one is offering all the results to Krishna. So whether it's prasad or any results, we'll have problem of bondage if we don't connect with Krishna. So that's prasad becomes yadna shishta sana santam muchanda sarva krimshai bhunjate te sukam pavam epishantam bhagam. I'm sorry, in the renunciation side of it, the renouncing the results to the Lord, or giving the results to the Lord is much higher level than renouncing the activity itself. Because nobody says not to act on it, but act for the Krishna. No? Suppose you're working, his accounting is doing, his profession is accounting, he is doing service in temple. No? Many people are doing this, like cooking. Oh. Yes. So this is actually, I spoke on it. This details of the same thing.
The trouble is covered. I just need to hold this up.
So this is again the Ishavasya principle there. Now one has to recognize that the Lord is the supreme, the proprietor, and in doing so, we'll be rightly questioned, but we'll be completely happy, but unmotivated, and interpreted close to Krishna Lord. So some of the instructions, but Kapil Dev is due to give.
Can we ask Krishan?
We don't have time now to do so. Group number three, please. Group number three.
Always the same speaker should not come from a group. Different people should come.
I agree with you, please.
So therefore, you cannot come. Yourself and Chaitanya Prabhu should not speak from your group.
Yes.
Others should not
hear. I always say this, but then the others don't want to do it. So.
No, it's not good or bad,
Mataji. So good or bad. So
anyway, we can discuss it.
Some people short.
But we get more also.
Because the time is very short. Okay, our presentation is basically after reading the first paragraph of in verse 8, what we could get from the message of Prabhupada's message is the quality of life depends on, broadly you can divide into controllable and uncontrollable factors. Is recognize your uncontrollable factor, which is your karma, you can't do anything about it. So accept that and look at the controllable factor, which is your time and effort, and put your time and effort in being Krishna consciousness and trying to work, put your effort to meet the bare necessities of life. If you can recognize this concept in your life, then there are certain qualities which you have to acquire, and these qualities will help you to practice this. The qualities to cultivate, which in essence comes out from the paragraph, is acceptance or tolerance. That is, once you know your karma, this is your karma, then you know to tolerate it, you know to accept it and not fight against it. Being contented again means being happy with the bare necessities of life, and dependence is to again depend on Krishna, because this is within, not within your control, so you depend on Krishna to get out of your karma. So basically the basic message coming out of the paragraph is simple living and high thinking. That's what Prabhupada was saying, and Mataji knows a nice verse in Bhagavad Gita. I can't say, so could you quote that verse which says about, which covers all this?
The two main verses in chapter 2 we have is Matra Pashasta Gondriya. So Krishna says we have to have tridiksha, which is tolerance, because the summer and winter keep coming and going, so we have to be tolerant. And the other one is sukha dukhe samay kritva labha labha jayajo. So sukha dukha, the dualities will always be there, and also we have to be a sober person to know that this thing. So that's again acceptance. And we were talking about Pandavas and Kauravas, the main difference, where Pandavas had all these qualities, acceptance, tolerance and contentment. And whereas Duryodhana, he wanted to capture Krishna when Krishna went as a messenger. So he thought he could control everything. So that was what I was trying to do.
That's
absolutely. Is it because of the dust?
Number four, key.
We are Hare Krishna. We are dealing with text 8, para 2, which speaks about the advantages of eating and thinking properly. Regulated eating, one can conquer sleep. This I'm sure, as a doctor, Mahatma Prabhu also agrees, that if you are able to regulate your eating, you will be able to have a control over your sleep. Regulated eating, sleeping, mating and defending allows proper understanding of spiritual topics. This is what we learn all along from Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, that if you are able to regulate these four aspects, then it becomes easy for us to understand spiritual topics. Otherwise, if somebody who is indulging in all these activities, you try to tell them simple aspects of spiritual life, they just can't understand. Actually, this is my personal experience in the office. When I try to talk to my colleagues in the office, no matter what I tell them, they just don't listen. They just don't understand. So therefore, what I do is I take halwa on a Saturday evening and give it to them on a Tuesday, because I go on Tuesday. So I give it to them saying that, well, you please take it, this is a good sweet, and they take it. And that ends my telling them about the spiritual topics. Eat Krishna Prasad to control senses. So typically, if you want to control our senses, it's good to eat vegetarian, but then much more than the vegetarian would be to eat Krishna Prasadam. Because one loses taste for abominable food. So if one takes only Krishna Prasad, then you do not have a liking, or you do not feel like taking any other food like typical the meat or alcohol or any such items. One develops compassion towards all living entities. The fact that you are not taking any non-vegetarian stuff itself is a step towards developing, or it promotes compassion within you. And therefore, it becomes easy for us to get purified. And in the process, because you are compassionate towards others, equally, you invite the blessings of the Lord and other Vaishnavas, because they give their blessings. Since you are good at heart, equally they are good to give their heart to you. Can avoid getting attached to mode of passion and ignorance by indulging in other abominable foods, then you are involving yourself in passion and ignorance. By avoiding them, you are obviously avoiding the passion and ignorance, which is the lowest step in terms of understanding the spiritual goal or the spiritual topics. The basic platform we need to be is the mode of goodness. And so therefore, by being in mode of passion or ignorance, it's not favorable for understanding spiritual topics. By being a muni or a mauni, you become free from material anxiety and develop anxiety to serve the Lord. So therefore, you become gambhira in your thinking. You do not involve yourself in unnecessary thinking. You stick to the devotional topics. A person who thinks properly can act properly and becomes an example for others. So if you can think properly and you can think, you can act properly, you stand as an example for your family, your relatives, your near and dear, and to everyone in the society. A regulated life promotes or gives increased lifespan. This is what the doctors say, that if you are able to hit the bed at the right time, you can get up at the right time, So therefore the body dynamics, whatever chemical changes are occurring in the body are in tune with your sleeping and getting up. So therefore it is highly favorable for promoting a healthy life, and a healthy life gives you a long span of life. And equally it saves environment and then from bad karma. And because you are regulating your life, your way of eating, it allows a plate of a meal for a hungry stomach. It is said that about 800 million grains of food is really is used for the slaughterhouses per annum, whereas the requirements of the hungry stomach around the world is about 100 million. But then the Western countries are not willing to spare that 100 million tons of grain because it would hit their quota in order to eat the meat. So therefore, for their sense gratification, they are not willing to spare that small amount of grain as well. So therefore, if we can regulate our life in terms of eating, at least we can save some grains which would meet the requirements of a hungry stomach.
Why do you give prasadam? What is your meaning of giving halwa to everyone?
It is, my observation is that one of my colleagues, his name is Mr. Radha Krishna, but he calls himself as Radhu. I do not know why, it's a strange name. And I've been telling him for quite some time about the spiritual topics, but he just doesn't understand. He is basically from south of India, although south Indians are supposed to be very intelligent. But then in this case, I find that the person, whenever I talk to him, he listens, says it's good, it's okay, and then he moves back to his way of eating. He takes alcohol, he takes meat and other things. For the last, I think, 1.5-2 years, whenever I find a plate of halwa available, I take it and give it to him. And in the last 1 month, I find there's a change in him. And last week, he has asked me to give him a book of Bhagavad Gita. So I took Bhagavad Gita as it is, and a framed photo of Radha Vallabha, and gave it to him. So, which he has never tried having the
advantage. You can enter a man's heart through
the
stomach.
I think Prabhupada makes a statement, what you are is what you eat. I think Bernard Shaw's statement is on that.
Prabhupada also says that if you give prasadam, at least he can come as a human being in the next life.
One morsel of prasadam can guarantee the human life.
Human life.
Good number 4 key.
Yeah.
Good number 5 key.
Yeah.
If it drops, it can hurt someone.
There are five main qualities in the two paragraphs that we have discussed today. One of the qualities is Vivitta Sharana, that is living in a secluded place or a place pilgrimage. And second quality is being peaceful. Third one is Maitriya, that is being friendly. Fourth is being Karuna, compassionate. And the last one is being Atmavan and self-resist. The first quality, Vivitta Sharana, out of the 9 angas, main angas of which are recommended for devotees, one of is that to stay in a holy place of pilgrimage and associate with advanced devotees. So what are the advantages of living in a holy secluded place is that you can get advanced devotees association. For example, in Vrindavan you can have lot of kirtan and you can have association of lot of maharajas and lot of lectures and very advanced devotees association. That's really going to purify your consciousness. And then people in Vrindavan always they remind us of Krishna. Wherever we go, there's always they call Thakurji and then they always remind us of Krishna. And then that is one of the advantages. And all the places are where Krishna walked and played pastimes with Radharani and everything. So everything, then the whole atmosphere reminds us of Krishna. And then when we bathe in Yamuna or in Ganges in Mayapur, it purifies our consciousness, but and it makes us, it even takes away our sins, and it helps us to advance more faster than other places. And automatically what we do when we go to Vrindavan, because everybody talks about Krishna and everybody is very Krishna conscious and everybody is sense controlled, we also tend to get their qualities, tend to become like them. We also have inspiration to become like them. They all get up for Mangalarti and we also want to get up for Mangalarti and come. So they inspire us. So that is, and what we are doing is we are automatically avoiding materialistic association, materialistic contamination. We all, people who are don't poison our mind, the materialists tend to poison our mind. So, and we can advance very quickly if we are living in a holy place. So Krishna becomes very pleased with the person who is always chanting and hearing his holy name, and Krishna becomes very pleased with people who say in Vrindavan as well. So then the result of this becomes, you become peaceful as well, you become happy and peaceful. So the result of peacefulness is that you have control over mind, so you are not agitated by the mode of passion or not influenced by mode of ignorance. So what is the result is kleshalmi and subhada, your sins all get burnt away and auspiciousness is bestowed upon you. Krishna consciousness cannot be practiced with a disturbed mind. So if your mind is disturbed, Krishna consciousness becomes difficult. So what happens is when we are peaceful, then we do not get health problems and it leads to a longer life both materially and spiritually if we are peaceful. So the third quality is maitra, friendliness. So if we can easily reach to people whom first we have to become their friend in order to reach to their heart, and then we can start preaching to them, and then we can confine only with devotees, not with other people. Devotees do not have anything in their heart. Devotees do not have any vengeance in their heart. Devotees do not have any vice in their heart, because Krishna is always purifying them, because they are always chanting. But the non-devotees are not like that. We do not know who they are actually, what is their conditioning and everything. So we can always confide with devotees. That's what Prabhupada says, that you must cultivate a very intimate relationship with the devotees, but you must not have a distant relationship with the non-devotees and try to preach to them. So good social wellness community. What I really enjoy in Krishna consciousness is a very good social wellness community, mainly for our children. The children are really liking to come here and meet other people, and like we are like one family, brothers and sisters like that, and so that is very nice for us. And aim is one. What is our aim? Our aim is only one. Our objective is only one. Our goal is only one. We want to be Krishna to be pleased, and we all want to go back to God. That is our only objective. And then Karuna means compassionate. Then Krishna conscious people are the best way of giving a charity to people. Many people are doing so much charity. They are building hospitals. They are doing so many other charitable things. The best charity is to give eternal great life for the soul without any birth and death, old age and disease. That is the best charity that we can give to any other soul. And then this makes us feel very happy when we preach to others. Moreover, we also advance because we are preaching to others. So Atmavan, what happens is, like Prabhupada says, that you must not get agitated by the material energy. Maya, sometimes she will cover you, sometimes she will take away the covering. We surrender to Krishna back. So material difficulties do not agitate us. When we are always in link with Krishna, we are always in connected with Krishna in yoga, we do not feel the material difficulties. But when we forget Krishna, then we feel all the material difficulties. And Krishna gives us a lot of tolerance over our
So we'll read through verses 1 to 9. Chapter 26. The personality of Godhead can pillar continue. When the living entity is thus unaffected by the modes of material nature because he is unchanging and does not claim proprietorship, he remains apart from the reactions of the modes. Although abiding in a material body, just as the sun remains aloof from its reflection in the water. So this is the result of Sankhya Yoga. Right? Sankhya Yoga means to analyze the difference between matter and spirit. If one attains this realization of understanding that he is not matter but he is spirit, then the example is given of the sun which remains aloof from the reflection on the water. So you may be within the material world, within a material body, but you are aloof from it. You are not actually attached to it. Just like the sun, you may see it reflected, but factually speaking, the sun is aloof. It is in another place. So similarly, when one becomes self-realized, then one may be in this material world, in the material body, but by consciousness, he is transcendental, like that. So this is the result of studying Sankhya Yoga, or realizing the difference between matter and spirit. This is the goal of Sankhya Yoga, to realize that matter and spirit are different. When the soul is under the spell of the material nature and false ego, identifying his body as the self, he becomes absorbed in material activities. And by the influence of false ego, he thinks that he is the proprietor of everything. So this verse is very similar to a verse in the Gita. Which verse is that?
Ahamkara
vibhutatma. All the lines are mixed up, but at least the philosophy is correct. So the point is that the living entity, when he comes into the material world, he is controlled by the modes of material nature. Now, why are we controlled by the modes of material nature? Because we have a desire to enjoy separately from Krishna. So as long as you have a desire to enjoy separately from Krishna, then the modes will control you. But if you can give up your desire to be separate from Krishna and serve Krishna, then the modes cannot touch you. The effect of the modes of nature only come when we give up our desire to serve Krishna purely. Like that. So because we have lost that desire to serve Krishna purely, then we are affected by the modes of nature. We want to enjoy separate from him, and then the modes will force us to act. Like that.
If we serve Krishna and we think that we are under his control,
does that mean that a person is liberated, even within this material world?
Because he will not be affected by
the...
He's liberated.
Yeah, Jivan Mukta. Then Rupa Goswami explains that. That if one is fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness with mind, body and words, he is Jivan Mukta. He is liberated from the effects of the material energy.